Here we are, once again, two best friends reunited for one common cause, the ultimate destruction of your earwaves. Welcome to You Know What I Would Do, a podcast that is the thing that I just said about the other, that part came first.
That's right.
And I'm here today, joined by Joey Greer, and I myself am Mike Castle.
That's his name. It's actually Mike Castle. What is wrong with self-promotion?
I don't know. I have an issue. I have some kind
There's
of an issue with it.
Wrong with it.
Yeah, I know, but I have an issue with it, and it's hard for me to get over. And you're trying to shame me right now, but that is not how we deal with our issues.
I'm not trying to shame
you. No, but you are. You're coming at me with an Irish Catholic method. You're saying out loud what my problem is, and you're trying to shame me in front of everyone. And then you put me in a position of having to bow my head and ask for forgiveness.
And are you?
But I'm not going to. Okay. No, I have a problem with self-promotion, and I'm never going to change.
That's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with my mom about the intro to this show. She was upset about some kind of change that has happened. My mom listens, and my mom gives me notes on this.
Okay? Can we dox her?
I don't want to.
It's yeah,
my mom.
Okay.
It's my
all
mom.
Right, all right.
Because I got to do
I guess I got to draw a line somewhere. Yeah.
And I'll give her social. I don't give a shit about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
She has told me that we are doing something different in this section than we used to do. I don't know what the hell she's talking about.
I kind of know what she's talking about.
I have no idea what she's talking about. She's like, you changed something. I'm like, Mom, I don't know what I'm doing anytime.
Well, it used to be, I'll tell you just from the editing standpoint.
Yeah.
It used to be that we would do preambulatory sort of bullshit at the top. And then before the doo-doo, I would play the little transition music.
So we would talk about something and get into it? That's what we normally
do? No, but now I don't put the transition music before the audience doo-doo. We kind of more naturally go
So you're the one hurting my mom.
My
mom goes through some mental break, and you can't even put the little jingle up top?
I would love to hear what the audience has to say. Email us at youknowpod@gmail.com. Basically, sometimes it feels too busy. Sometimes, even when I add in the music cue for the five questions, sometimes I go, it's too many little things. But maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Because I'm actually talking just visually. Where I'll just see...
Oh, you'll see the waves there. Yeah,
and I just go it's too many things. I feel like it's too many things.
Because I believe I edited the last episode.
And it sounded nice, by the way. I listened to that whole one, and I was like, this is well edited.
Yeah, I do a good job.
Because I remember a few parts I wanted it. That's a portmanteau of I wanted edited. I wanted it. I remember I wanted it a few parts out, and they were gone. And the transition was seamless and beautiful, and mm-hmm. I was really impressed.
Hey, what can I say?
Yeah.
You know, I'm conscious of that, and I want to make sure that what we deliver is something that you would actually want to grab. I know mm-hmm. what you're getting is an audio format, but if it's possible to have this in some kind of gift format, maybe an Amazon gift. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go corporate. Let's not go corporate.
Sure.
Let's go mom and pop.
Yes.
Let's not big box store. Uh-huh. Okay. Let's do a tiny box store. Small box.
Dan Bradel's special occasion gifts.
Uh-huh. And that store is shut down.
Yes.
Okay?
It's open for 1 hour a day.
Uh-huh. There's an illegal gambling den underground, right? And they weren't gambling on the shit that you want to see either. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're gambling on weird things.
But one thing I love about Dan Bradel's is that if you go, you look at the little people, cartoon shotgun barrel comes out if you look too closely.
Yeah.
That's what I like. That's just something I like.
Not threatening, because it can't hurt you.
And just the two things to mix like that, the sort of the Roger Rabbit landscape is what I want.
Who doesn't? Okay. You know? It seems like everyone's invincible and immortal mm-hmm. in those worlds, even though...
But still threatening.
Oh my God, the amount of pain that one suffers through that, okay?
Yes.
I guess I don't want immortality. But what I'm saying, Dan Brandel's, you go there, that's the physical box that you're getting. I want to mm-hmm. make sure that when you receive it, you go, it's a nice box.
And you're saying that as a metaphor for what you want the listening experience to be for a listening member of the audience podcast.
Exactly, exactly.
Sure.
That's what I want them to get. I want them audibly to think that their ears are grabbing a box and they go, that's a really nice box.
Yes.
That's what I want.
That does sound like how you would, in retrospect, describe the last thing you remember before you woke up in the hospital.
I guess that my ears were grabbing a box. Yeah.
You're like, I distinctly remember I was listening to something and then my ears were grabbing a box. I'm like, yeah, it's worse than we thought.
Awesome. All right, let's put that music in now. So we have an audience doo-doo, and this comes from, you're not going to believe it, our email.
The email. Yes. So this is not a Patreon.
It's not a Patreon. Because you know why? Give a shit about.
Well, come on, hold on,
what,
hold
dude,
on.
What? No, I'm over power almost, to the people.
There's
baby.
Almost no. Well, you're who started the Patreon, and you're who plugs it constantly. So don't act like you're the number one advocate for the people. You are also the corporate entity. You know, I mean, like I'm always on your side. You know that, but it is right now. You're like acting like you're the head of the union, but you also do. You are the CEO of Walmart.
I am taking money from the union and putting it in my pocket to run some kind of casino.
Yes. Well, no, the thing with you is that you always have these side hustles that no one knows about. Mm-hmm. But it's each one. It's like you really literally segment your brain. And so it even there's not even talk within there. Like there's no coordination
because I don't want them to steal it. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone to steal my goddamn ideas.
Yeah.
Even if it's me, I'm not going to have that.
It is
happen.
Like you're playing yourself in chess, but you actually sincerely are not considering what the other player is
doing.
And
I don't even like playing chess.
Yes. I know.
I hate it, dude.
Yes.
Actually, somebody at the bar the other day was playing chess.
Fuck yeah.
And I walked love by that. And I didn't say a thing. Mm-hmm. So this comes from our email, unopod@gmail.com. Yeah, we talked about the Patreon. And yeah, guess what? There's a quote-unquote pay-to-play system. Fuck that, dude.
Yes.
Fuck that shit. Nice. You got an email you want to send. You don't got $5 right now.
Yeah.
I get it, man. You want to
Or you just don't want to support us. It's like some personal thing. Like you listen, but you also don't want to support us, which I understand. I listen to a lot of things that I ultimately, when it comes to the question, do I want to give $5 to this? I'm like, I just, you know.
There are people I love. There's people I interact with personally and I don't want to support.
Yes, yes.
You know I mean, you think I'm going
to. But it's not out of any kind of hostility. It's just
greed.
I just don't want to. And I'm greedy. I want to hold on to the little tiny acorn that I have.
It's greed. It's ego. It's hate. It's jealousy. Yes. It's all these things.
But there's nothing wrong with
that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You got that running through your veins right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's called being human, baby.
That's it. That's a humie. And if you don't want to pay the Patreon, if this is your first time listening, you're hating what you're hearing.
And you're like, all this Patreon talk. Oh my God, are they always talking about a Patreon?
Don't worry about it because you can email at us at unopod@gmail.com.
And you can just send a cease and desist.
You can. And guess what? It ain't going to happen, bud.
We auto-delete.
Cease and desist my ass.
We're on the auto-delete lifestyle.
All right. So here we go. This audience doo-doo goes on to say, hey, Joe and Mike, I am from Canada.
Okay, so far, honestly, for me, off to a great start.
But I am not.
No. But I'm from the Midwest, which I do feel is America's Canada.
When I say I am from Canada.
Wait, yeah.
I am not.
The United States is Canada.
Huh?
Well, because I'm thinking like America, Canada is part of America, you know.
North America.
Yeah, but
the
you know,
United
it's sort of.
United States of America.
But I'm sort of, it's
what are you
all
doing?
This huge land. I feel that Canadians have a weird thing about when you refer to the United States as unequivocal America excluding Canada.
Well, we are the United States of America.
Right, but I'm saying that when you just say America, they go like, well, we're American, too.
No, not American.
I know, but I mean, continentally, all in this big slab of earth.
Yeah, but like, the Canadians don't
say
America.
I'm just saying, Canadians, no, but they're like...
I know what you're saying.
They have their thing. It's this thing. I've stepped on it by accident in Vancouver a few times.
That's not our problem.
I agree, but I'm trying to get ahead of it.
That's their shit. That's their shit.
I agree. But that's the way a sociopath thinks about everyone's problems. They just go, that's their thing. I don't have to consider it at
exactly.
all. I'm saying, I want to consider it because I know what? That they feel that way.
Well, yeah,
and you're like, it doesn't matter. They're not me.
But that's something they got to deal with. That's not my problem.
Yeah, but I do feel like this is sort of like this feels like a critical episode in the exploration of what is wrong with you in your brain, in your mind.
I'd love to get into it.
Yeah.
But I want to just say, when they say, hey, Joe and Mike, I am from Canada. Yeah. I want to be explicitly clear that I'm saying it, but I am not from Canada.
Oh, you're back to that.
I'm a USA man.
You're back to this old problem you have, where you're scared that when you read something, people think that this is what you are saying.
Well, I just said it. So then, I did say that, but I want to say that I'm reading something that somebody else wrote.
I basically guarantee that there is a psychological term for that.
Sure, I guess it's called kicking ass and taking names.
Hey, maybe.
But I want everyone to be clear on this. Mm-hmm. Everyone to be clear. I am not from Canada. I'm going to read it again.
Buktar's syndrome.
But don't.
That's what they would call it. This is Buktar's syndrome, where the person is overly self-conscious about the fact that anytime they read, they think everyone is thinking that this is them just talking.
Hey, Joe and Mike, I am from Canada once again.
That's from the writer.
The writer wrote that.
Yes.
The audience writer in for the email doo-doo. They go on to
this
say.
This is going to be a long one. I can tell.
Crack them if you got them. We all have those people in our lives whom we're not sure whether their laughs are real or fake. Do you have this issue?
Whoa, wow.
I'm guessing 3% of the laughs you hear during a day are fake or at least forced. Wow. I know you both try to be genuine and trustworthy during the show, but do you fake laugh? And can you tell whether other people are fake laughing? What if they're your friends? And don't the way people talk and laugh change all the time according to who they hang out with? The language instinct? What would you do? Okay, thanks. Social is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12.
Oh, didn't no, get 11. The 11. Didn't get the 11.
Please use my alias, Hector Salamanca, if you want or not. No.
Yeah. I think that's too many numbers for a social security number. But I got to say, other than that, this is the best question that's ever been written.
Wow.
Really? It speaks to me on a very, very core level. I've talked about this before.
So then what are you saying? You're saying Patreon, step it up.
Yeah, I am saying, yeah, this does feel like it's a shot across the bow of the Patreon.
Holy shit.
It's I love this because I think about it all the time. First of all, you and I definitely, I feel like, are thinking of the same person who we both know has what we know to be a fake laugh.
Yes, yes.
PFT. No, but Joey and I have of an old friend from just many, many years ago who I would just say has a sort of clearly fake laugh that I, in the early days of our friendship, would complain about all the time because it would make me feel weird. Where it was sort, it's just like loud in a way to just occupy space, basically. Mm-hmm. Where you kind of go like, it's not even that you're... Yeah, it's bad. When you know that it is a true fake laugh, it's scary to witness, basically, for me.
It's hard to, when you're trying to present some kind of bridge, the communication or friendship or understanding, and then someone presents you like, well, they're just not paying attention. That's what it seems like.
Yes, yes.
When that fake laugh emerges, and it's usually a fake laugh is like huge, it's loud.
Yes, that's what it is.
Takes over the space.
Yes,
fake laughs aren't like, all right.
No, that's not
a fake laugh. That's more like...
But that also is a fake laugh. There's
sure,
a spectrum.
It definitely. Yeah. But that kind of fake laugh is a
no,
polite...
No, the big kind that occupies space, and what I've complained about with this in the past is it makes a show that person gets the joke most of all, is what I always think. Yeah. Like the loudest laugh, because you get those in theaters a lot as well, and you go, that person just kind of claimed the understanding of that joke.
Very much. Yeah, well, fake laughter in a comedy theater or any space
like that. They're basically going, if you got it as much as I did, you'd be laughing this loud too.
Yeah.
And they would sell that shirt at Spencer's if they could.
That was still around, which I think it is. I think it's the only store open.
That's the only place where you can buy flip lighters.
Which I need. I need those. But I feel so... strange when I'm around those people at a comedy club because the laughter is like the attention wants to be on them.
Uh-huh.
Outside of, they want to be a part of this thing.
Okay, here's my question for you. My sub question.
All right.
Is it possible that you think that it's your sincere laugh? Like that those people aren't even consciously aware that it is insincere?
I believe you can change your laugh.
I believe that as well, but I don't think that that's a popular opinion.
I think you can change your laugh. I think you do. I think
like that you can control in some way. I agree with you.
I think you can. And I believe at a certain point, those individuals have crested beyond the realization that they're doing that.
Yeah.
They are,
and they're so given up to, they're like, it's beyond my control. It's my laugh.
Yes.
Like as though it is as natural and unchanging as your sneeze, which by the way, you can change your sneeze as well. Because I make mine really high pitched to sound like a mouse.
Uh-huh.
And people love that.
Piercing.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Piercing.
Yeah, yeah. It cracked that window. I know it cracked the window. Everyone, you guys all said that I
hit
it.
You hit the window with your hand.
But I think that my sneeze, the high pitch of it.
Well, you were sneezing, then you hit it, and you get my sneeze.
Well, that's part of my, that's all part of my sneeze reflex.
Well, then you would crack every window every time you sneeze.
That's why I step away from windows when I know I'm going to sneeze.
I've seen you sneeze and not crack a window.
Well, I don't always step away from the window.
Because you don't need to crack a window because you forget.
But I cracked it with my hand.
The point of this is to prove
that you're forcing. And the pitch, sorry. And with the pitch, I cracked the window.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
It.
Yeah. So I believe that there is a control factor.
Yes.
People can implement within their laugh.
But
meter.
I think then people would say that you doing that means that your laugh is fake. Now, here's my other thing that I want to say about this whole subject, which is that I definitely fake laugh. No question about
it. We all do, though.
And you have to. But I always think...
Try to survive this world,
bud. But even in the teaching improv experience, or even just being in an improv class, I feel like I really developed a type, like a laugh response where it is just to be kind to keep it going. You know, where you're sort of like... You know when you're watching a bad improv show, like... And you just know, oh, but if I could just encourage them a little bit with my laughter, I actually think this will improve.
Yeah.
Because they're sensing the dead air.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you also end up doing that socially all the time. Like that's most of the time you're doing that with a fake laugh. Now, are the people who have the big, loud, fake laughs, on some level, are they doing that as well? Like, is it a reflection maybe of some earlier need to do that?
Maybe they're just trying to be innately supportive.
Yes.
They just want to like lift whatever is happening up to the best quality it can be. Mm-hmm. But then they don't.
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, best.
But then, or maybe it maybe it started that way.
That's what
and
I'm
then
saying.
Now it's just you do it. Because yeah. I also think to be a loud laugher sort of creates the illusion of general joviality. Mm-hmm. Like you end up thinking that that person is more whatever. And then you kind of, I don't know. It's not good. I don't like to be around it.
So to get into some of their questions here, like, you know, 3%, like, do you think their 3% of the laughs that you hear are fake? Yes, definitely. During the show. Okay. Yeah. Do we fake laugh? Yes. Can you tell if other people are fake laughing? Most of the time.
Yeah. But I
think
end
that's
up
socially.
I end up giving into a lot of kinds of like doubt with this sort of stuff. You know, like I'll give people like enormous amounts of leeway, like in the same, like the, like, how do you know when something is fake? Or, like, what makes something fake? Like, how many levels beyond your control does something have to go to be sincere?
I think fake laughter, it's all based on the situation. Mm-hmm. I think most fake laughter is, you could tell when people, I mean, not even
but
situation.
I'm almost
you
saying,
can just
like,
tell physically when someone's like,
I think, like, laughter itself, on some level, like, arises from some sort of evolutionary thing.
Yes.
Like to show that we're a non-threat or whatever, you know, it's like a welcoming sound.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. That's but socially
then,
you
yes.
do that.
But so then so it'll just like modify and modulate over, you know, 10,000 years.
I think real laughter is when you look ugly when you're laughing.
Yeah.
Like you're not in control of
when it basically is like a sneeze.
Yes.
It's
yes. just an involuntary response to something. That's real yeah. laughter where you didn't realize you were either being
that is true. Because I think like the best feeling laugh does feel like it is laced with some sense of surprise. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear so I bet the best way to detect an insincere laugh, I guess, would be looking for some level of surprise.
Yes. I agree with that. And what if they're your friends? What if they're your friends?
I almost think as the law you have to not internalize your friend's laughter. Like I think like not. Becoming too aware of that sort of thing is you should almost never do it because I feel like every laugh becomes weird the more you listen to it.
I have a standing rule that all my friends have to laugh at no matter what I'm saying.
I yeah, I know. How severe, I know.
How benign, have mm-hmm. to laugh. And if they don't, they're cut the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I have a treasure trove. I mean, literal treasure I'm sitting on and I'm writing people's names off a will. Because I'm going to have it. And I'm not talking about a guy named Will that I'm tattooing constantly and carving that out. And yeah, guess what? I could cut out some skin of his, let the skin regrow, scabbed up, and write over it. I could do that, but I'm not going to. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a will and testament. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it's spelled
let me
the
just
same.
Interject here. And sure. I'm just kind of listening to the way that your brain works, you know? Yeah. And I was kind of thinking, like, it's almost like you should have been a CEO. Like a one of the definitely one that's kind of lying about something.
Sure,
but it's the way that you okay. So you go, I'm gonna write you off the will. Then there's this beat, and then you go, no, and I'm not talking about a guy named Will. And then now we're all kind of picturing a guy named Will. And then you go, although I could shave the skin off his back. And so then we're all going like, okay, so now we're starting to feel again that you've thought about this. And then you say, and then it'll grow back. And then you're talking about like, so now it's like, it implies this timeline of the experience where I personally was picturing that this is happening on some kind of vessel. I don't know why I was picturing like a captain.
Ship?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was picturing Captain Quarters
captain
where you're
of
shaving
industry,
off the
CEO.
I don't know. But my point is it's very interesting to listen to because you just kind of go, if I let it continue, it'll just keep going until like then you're asking for investments.
Well, then I actually get a guy named Will in here to show what I meant.
Yeah. And then we're all like, so he brought that guy. So then it was planned. It's almost
so
like
he
when
does
you,
do that.
It's almost like when you see a stand-up act like two nights in a row and you realize like so many of what you thought were in the moment realizations are actually all part of the act.
Mm-hmm. Which is a master of the craft.
It's great. When you do in your experience, you do that, you bust out Will and his back is all over scabbed and everything. So then I'm just goes like, so it wasn't he. So in the moment when he said, and I'm writing, when it seemed like it was related to nothing, and he said, and I'm writing people off the will, and I don't mean a guy named Will and his back and all that, that it was all planned. That then, because then that commands respect. And that's
and
what I have
for you.
Let me
just say this, like in the board meeting, you're fired.
Yeah.
You know how long you took to say that?
Mm-hmm. And because I pointed out your algorithm.
Fired.
Yes.
You're fired, dude.
You're like, I don't want that guy. That guy's scheming.
No, bad guy.
Yeah.
Find out how much money is in his will.
Yes.
And then I do mean opening up a guy named Will.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I bet there's treasure in his tummy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I would do about fake laughter. Number one, no more laughter.
Mm.
Dead ass serious. No Whoa. More jokes. No more jokes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Put us into that equilibrium future where everyone is taking dead that pill, serious.
You know what I'm saying? Everyone's chilling. Yes. Christian Bale's out there with a sword cutting off faces and
Tay Diggs still charming. He's charming. Even in a dystopia.
He's still, what do you want me to say? The guy's so he can do handsome. It. But throw some puppies in there and let's just see people's hearts are changing.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to say.
So you're saying harden their hearts to later open them back up again.
Because if we forget what humor is, when we come back around, do you know what's still going to be funny as hell?
Humor.
Well, yeah, but I mean, somebody ripping ass. Like some big wig bending over to pick up a candle because they were screaming at everybody and accidentally knocked it over. And everyone just, you know, at this point, desensitized to the fear. And this is just how it is.
Yeah.
This guy's just an asshole. Think of the Harkonian guy, whatever. Sure. Bends over to pick up that candle, rips ass.
Yes.
And a long one, too.
Yeah.
And then finally, something happens where this wave of humor once again crests back into the human spirit, burst through like a light, unstoppable, to finally take over the darkness.
I think this is a Pepsi commercial.
The humor wave that's going to go through people would be deafening. Mm-hmm. And the laughter would be so contagious that the people would rise up once again and take control of their own destiny.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. That's so you want to deal with fake laughter?
Yeah.
Well, then let's just not laugh. And then let's just actually wait a couple hundred thousand years.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what his plan is. Let's just not laugh. Then in parentheses, in 1,000 years
from now. 100,000 years.
In 100,000 years from now. Yeah, and then it's this whole long, convoluted plan about how then you'll reintroduce humor.
This is the text scrolling from my phone.
Yeah. And then it says, drink responsibly, Pepsi Cola. What I would do is I would just, and I do this with a lot of things in life that annoy me. I would just eat it up and just go, there's nothing I can do to change this. There's that person will never change. You cannot help someone change their life.
Sure you can.
You really cannot. I got to be as vague here as possible, but I once knew someone who had a laugh that was so bad and distracting. It was known among a friend group. I like entered this friend group. And then it was one of the earliest, you know, when you enter a friend group and you hear these internal rumblings about some narrative, they're like, oh, I didn't know you guys all think that about Gary. That's, yeah, I guess he's kind of like that. This was one where it was within a comedy community and everyone was like, that person's laugh is so bad and so distracting that it's almost bad when they're at an improv show because it's so distracting. And people talk about this all the time. And then at some point, this person confided in me that they felt that people hated their laugh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like so aware that they do and that I myself did. But I really considered what you do in this situation. And I was just like, oh, but a laugh's a laugh. You know, it's, you know, and I was like, there's just no, you can't really.
So they were on a burning ship. They came up to your ship and they're like, I think I need help. And you're like, no, you still got a ship though.
Yeah.
And then you push them back into the ocean.
I think I would have definitely gone like, but I mean, I think I would do what I always would do, which is that I would ask questions first to get a general idea of their perspective. You know, where I was like, have you ever tried changing the, like, is that something you feel is in your control? And they're like, absolutely not. And you're like,
in a situation like that, you have to go, listen, we're all talking about it. You're so correct.
No, because my first time ever being removed from a friend group was when I was like in high school. And I did try to say something directly that everyone was saying. And it really did not work. And
with teenagers not going well?
It was scary. Yeah.
That's not surprising. Usually they're so welcome to notes and critique.
Yes. Well, I hope that helped.
Hope that helped, bud.
Now, this is great because we're moving right into
this what is great.
Feels relevant to what we were basically just talking about, which is just the concept of being wrong or admitting that you're wrong. Now, I brought this one up because I've noticed there's a bunch of different sort of routes we could go down with this, but I feel like being able to be wrong and acknowledge being wrong is like the best gift that you can give yourself.
Oh, it's amazing.
Now, but I also feel like it's hard and embarrassing.
Very much so. But it also shows a lot of strength, restraint, intellect, self-awareness.
Sometimes I listen on to when editing this podcast and I'll hear a thing that I said that's wrong. I'm just like, oh, God, this is terrible. Who cares? Even though, of course, my main thought is, oh, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter in any way, whatever. Yeah. Or, for example, I was listening to a podcast the other day and they mispronounced a word. And
canceled.
I had this first...
Unsubscribe.
My first thought was like, mispronounce that word. And then I remembered, actually, I used to mispronounce that word. And it but none of it matters. It doesn't matter at all. And yet, I feel like we all have this sort of like bully response when we think about being wrong, where you feel like if you get one detail wrong, then the bully sort of like points out that you got that wrong. And so then it must mean that everything else you said was wrong.
That's a real thing, though, the self-policing of it, because if you do something incorrectly, the fear is that someone will come down and the hammer's going to fall on top of you, and you're going to either lose a job, lose a position socially,
yeah,
or something.
Well, and it's such a known political tactic, too, to be like, well, you were wrong about that, and then it means that we can have no faith in you to be right about anything else.
Right, right. So it's a big fear.
Yes.
And it's a shame, because there's learning moments, right? Reflection, being able to like come back from things. And
yeah.
I don't even talk about like serious shit.
Yeah.
Like you were wrong about like historical facts. Like,
yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Let's help educate each other. I think most of the knee-jerk responses, and I've reflected on this as well, of in my past, oh, you didn't know about blank artist. Mm-hmm. And then instead of introducing that person to that artist and like steward them in the same way that I was,
yeah,
I shame them for not knowing something that it wasn't even in their fucking sphere.
Why does anyone have to know anything?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's also ego-based. It's like you kind of can't believe they don't know it. And so you're kind of just make the narrative like, that helpless idiot. You know, where it's like, just why? It's what you know is random.
There was a moment where I was talking with someone who was at like a really good university, and we were speaking about something, and I mentioned Kim Jong-un, and they did not know who that was.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you don't know who Kim Jong-un is? And they're like, no. I was like, you're at this really, good university. Yeah. And they're like,
but that's also the pressure that those people will always have on them. But and if someone went to Harvard and they don't know like some word, and you're like,
this is a world leader who's threatening us all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. This guy.
But then for me, I admire that. Like, yeah, I love to not know about a big thing. Cause you go,
that context, I still should have been graceful.
Yes.
And instructed more peacefully. Yes. And like held that softer, because why? Because now I'm hardening that person to like any information that comes to them,
or like to being vulnerable and admitting that.
Exactly. Right now they don't want to say that they don't know, or et cetera, or whatever. But that's the biggest thing. I don't know. Saying that you don't know is a really powerful thing, because we've talked about this previously. You're in a social situation. Someone brings up a movie, and then you say you haven't seen it. And you ask them to explain it, then they put them in a situation they go, actually, I haven't seen it either.
Uh-huh.
They're about to bring it up and just make it up because they just wanted to survive.
Yes.
Make it seem like they knew more than they did.
Well,
because
it's just, as I've said before, it's just annoying when someone's like, you got to see that movie. When I feel myself doing it or someone's saying it to me, I'm like, okay.
When I have
a million movies I know.
No, what
I
do is I bring them into the movie theater. I'm like, you got to see a movie? I'm like, let's go. And I do it right then and there. Even if the movie theater's closed.
I would appreciate that more if the movie theater's closed.
Yeah, let's say, because I'm like, hey, it's 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in a small town.
Yeah.
I'm in Allentown, right over there in Buffalo, New York. And I'm like, hey, let's go see this movie. This is a great movie. And then, you know, the people I'm with, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen it. I'm like, let's go see it. And like, the only theater's closed. It closes at 8. I'm like, close at 8? What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what are you talking? They should have like 10 o'clock movies. Like, well, I don't know what to tell you. It's a small town, just not enough revenue. They do that to like keep, you know, their doors open. I'm like, fine, whatever, but we're going to go see this movie. We go in there. They don't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't have the movie. Why would they have this? You know what I'm saying?
Why would they have the film reel, right?
I don't know. They don't have the Phantom, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, we're going to watch it anyway. So what I do is I get the reel going, and whatever was in there. Let's say it's like the new Ghostbusters movie, because it's like, you know, massively distributed and stuff.
Yeah.
But I put that on and I'm like, we're going to reenact the Phantom. They haven't seen it.
Well, and first of all, if you are able to figure out how to do that, you're putting the reel on there. You're starting
it's
it on.
It's not hard, buddy. It's a USB drive or whatever the hell
it is.
It's a film reel.
Okay. So then actually I got to interject what you're saying and say, then you would never figure any of this out and you wouldn't get anything to play, just because you wouldn't be able to figure that out. I don't think, because I think that'd be hard to figure out. I don't think I could figure it out either.
Well, you're admitting something that you're wrong at.
Oh, hey, right? true.
And what I'm saying is I can do it.
Yeah,
I can do it.
Yes. And I'm sort of trying to charitably show you that your inability to do that thing, which everyone would agree that you would not be able to do, I'm showing you that I also wouldn't be able to do it, to show you that it's okay for you to admit that you can't do it.
I actually could do it. Because I could I could break into that film studio place or the health club movie theater.
Yeah.
I could find the reel for Ghostbusters, put it in the USB drive. I don't care how big and round it is. Play that thing through the projector and then get all the people that I was with at that bar to reenact the Phantom, even though they haven't seen it.
Well, then it almost benefits you for the movie to not work. Like if you just turn the projector on and then it's just white light is pointed at a screen, and then you have them stand up on the stage and kind of act it out or shadow puppet it. then that's kind of easier to follow. But you're saying you figure it out perfectly. And so the movie is playing at cinema quality, wow, where the sound is loud, like the lights are down. But then you're going to have people standing in front of it, all from this bar, who are acting out a movie that they haven't seen. And that is how they will enjoy that movie that you're telling them they have to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I have no notes for it because when it makes so little sense, you just kind of go like, it's abstract then.
This is what I would do about being wrong. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of admitting fault. I think that's a real superpower. Being able to do that absolves you.
Completely agree.
It absolves you of so many things down the line, mm-hmm, and it just creates this atmosphere where, like, oh, Mike's always he's saying that. Oh, okay, cool. People like don't burden you with certain things anymore.
Yeah,
because they're like, oh, you actually have a foothold to be in charge.
Well, and because I will, like, not me in particular, but the more you admit that you're wrong, then the more that people who will like want to complain about something else, like you're not going to ramp them up,
no.
A lot of the time people want you to do.
Totally.
To be like, to say that person's wrong. Like, once you admit that you're wrong about stuff all the time, then you also go like, maybe they're wrong, maybe you're wrong.
People treat you like there's something wrong with you.
Yes, because, and they're like, ugh. Yeah.
Fucking idiot. He's always wrong at stuff. But this is my point.
Yeah.
I would be wrong at everything, mm-hmm, right? No, I'm not. But I would be wrong at everything. So an individual, whoever you are, you could take the mantle of, I'm just going to be wrong at everything. And you got to do this for a couple
I'm going to be years. Wrong at everything.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or in everything.
Sure.
So, or with everything.
Or about everything.
So an individual who wants to be taking this path, and I'll let's just say we're forming a religion.
Sure.
Just to make it clear and all that stuff, to be a part of the wrongings, what you have to do is you have to be part of our church for a year. Okay, so to be a wrongin', you got to go through our church for a year. Okay, and if you really want to do it, you're gonna have to pay tithes. Mm-hmm. All right, and I'm not talking about waves, but all right,
you're talking about the pods,
huh?
Tide pods.
So I'm not. I'm talking about money into the church.
Sure.
Okay, and I'm not talking about a different company either. I'm talking about a church.
Okay,
we're not a company. We're not corporate, bud.
Okay.
501c3 nonprofit. Except, guess what? I'm making money. Because mm-hmm. The money for the nonprofit goes back into the nonprofit.
And that's what you do about being wrong.
Well, yeah, because I want to make sure that people have an institution, people have a place to go to feel that they can be wrong, supported, mm-hmm, instructed on how to be wrong, how to weaponize that being wrong, and then go out into the workforce, into their social lives, being wrong, knowing that they're not wrong, but taking advantage of people who think that they're wrong so they don't have to do anything. Mm. If I go out there and people think I'm wrong, I'm not going to be burdened with any kind of responsibility. Mm-hmm. If I get in my car and I crash into another car, someone says, you just hit me. I'm like, I didn't know how to drive.
Yeah.
And they go, okay. Cop comes over. Do you have insurance? I didn't know how to do that. Okay. I get off.
No, I love it.
No ticket, no insurance policy.
I love it.
Nothing. I go into a deli counter.
Yeah. No, I got it. We don't have to continue to extrapolate. We got it. Yeah, we got it. What I would do about being wrong, I think what I would do is have it so that we all admit when we're wrong more often, but then we speak at great lengths about why and how we were wrong. And where the wrongness began. Because it's actually easier to follow than what you were saying,
what
my
are you
friend.
Talking about?
But no, maybe I'm wrong. But everyone just owns it so much because I feel like there's the way that it would be weaponized. Like I feel like the Republican Party would go like, I'm wrong, forgive me. And it's not real. It's sort of like, you know, people praying to God for forgiveness.
Well, a lot of those people would be in my church, the wrong ones.
No, I'm sure. I'm totally sure. And I'm leaving all of that in your conditional. I'm not bringing any of that into mine. The two don't exist in the same universe. But yeah, so I think I would make it easier to be wrong. Cause I feel that the way that people can't admit it is it's like painful to everyone's cause.
Yes. We are dealing right now with horrible individuals who are in charge or about to be in charge who can't admit that they're wrong.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can't admit that he's wrong.
Like the,
and we're fucked.
The problem with, addressing global warming is that all of these people can't admit that they were wrong.
They don't want to admit it.
We're going to let the entire world end because these people can't admit that they're wrong.
It's a huge problem in academia where people don't want to admit that these things are not true because then that means that this is what's wild.
No, but it's that same like sort of incorrect thinking that it's invalidates everything.
But you think that by admitting this, by just going by fact or like just using what the information we have available to us, that then you won't have a job anymore? Mm-hmm. So what the fuck are you talking about? You're still the best at what you do, right? Like
hey, be the first person to admit it.
What the fuck?
No, you'll definitely get a job. Jump ship.
Dumbass.
Moving right along.
We're talking about fire. You were about to intro this. And it's my time to intro. I saw you, dude. I saw you do it.
That was me taking a big breath.
Yeah,
because I was like trying to brace myself for whatever bullshit you're going to say.
Feel this right now? That's that fire.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're talking about physical fire.
I want you to chat about it as much as you want. Great.
Mike put this in there, fire, and I know what you're thinking. Oh, a single word must have been Joey's.
Mm-hmm.
He can't write more than two words. He gets tired. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do, okay? But Mike wrote down fire.
Yeah.
And my instinct is to believe that he means an actual physical fire.
I do.
But what about that fire inside?
When you got that dog in you.
Exactly. That's
when you got that dog in the hog. Yep, exactly.
What about that dog that's on fire? You know what's wrong with you?
Mm.
You're a sociopath. You're a fucking serial killer. You lit that dog on fire.
Oh.
You're a bad fucking person.
And again, this is that CEO tangential thinking where what dog? What? It's on fire? Who's a sociopath? What is your education, sir? You're saying someone's a sociopath? Like, it came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it did.
1 second ago, we're talking about fire. And then the next, you're charging someone as a sociopath. Well,
you mentioned that dog in you. And you mentioned that hog, right?
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Which, as we know, hogs are naturally flame retardant. They cannot get on fire.
That's true.
Can't get on fire.
They cannot get on fire.
They cannot get on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs can. And the sicko asshole that has a dog in them and the fire in them.
Yeah.
And then lights that dog in fire.
So it's one or the other for you.
Lights that dog in fire.
Yeah. And I appreciate you going back to that. I think, and this was strategic for me. I put being wrong as our first topic because I thought it would make it easier for us to do the rest of the episode. Because there's going to be more admitting. Because you just owned that you misspoke. You never do that. You normally stop. And then you go retake and you do a really serious retake. You drop your British accent. You let your British accent out for a little bit and then you get back into character and then you go right into
it. Exactly. Yeah, but today I'm not.
Yeah.
Today I'm not.
Today I'm not. Exactly. Well, so I just read this article in the newest Scientific American. It's called Living in the Pyroscene.
Name drop.
Yeah, I guess. basically, this guy is just the scientist is talking about, sort of the stages of fire on Earth and the role of fire in society, basically through time. And he's like, the first stage of fire is like the longest one, which is naturally occurring fire on Earth. The second is when human beings, sort of like understood the utility of fire and, we're using it to, burn down forests, whatever, create.
First thing we did.
Basically, I would guess. Yeah. They heated themselves once and they're like, what if we burn that whole forest down?
All right.
Yeah. And then the third being when we use gases and fossil fuels to sort of use fire on a bigger scale, which was basically triggered by understanding that fire is like a combustion reaction, like that it's something else, So I was just thinking about fire as, just a sort of fundamental thing that we don't really think about all that much. But then I also assume that you would probably talk about Prometheus and probably some Bible stuff or something. And
sure. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I'll dig into that. I think that's really fire. I mean, right. That's the first invention thing that ticked us over the edge to be surviving those cold nights.
Yeah. No, I feel like the general theory on that is more like tools, like probably weapons are like more first invention-y, I would guess.
Sure. But I mean, to make fire.
Yes.
You just changed the game.
That is true. Yeah, you're right about that.
Even when there's like movies where like someone goes back in time and they have a lighter and everyone's like, that magic to make fire like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing how easy things are.
Yeah.
Right now, if someone said, make a fire, could you do it?
I could probably do it, yeah.
I don't think you could.
I think I could probably do it.
I think the first thing you do is you get a wet newspaper.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, and me and the rest of the guys watching would be like, what an idiot. He's not going to be able to like that.
Yeah.
He's got to really wet that up.
Yeah.
That's just damp.
Yeah, yeah.
The wetter it gets, the better.
Well, I really learned how to make a fire when I was doing this wolfing, the Worldwide Organization for Farming, where I think I could probably do it. But you're right. I would probably not be able to.
I think we all understand. Like, I've seen enough Naked and Afraid.
Yes.
I've seen enough Survival-esque.
Yeah,
all those things where I know.
But they all use a thing. There's like a flint stick or some shit.
Yeah, so I need some kind of spark. And then I need the tinder.
Yeah.
The dry ass tinder.
Right.
Fire is wild. I love it. I cook on a charcoal. I love grilling on charcoal, open flame. It's the shit. There's something about it that just makes everything taste better.
Sure.
Being next to.
I've never really done that. Like, I never really do any kind of
we can do veggies
open
like that.
Flame cooking stuff. No, I know you've done it, and I here in at my house, and yeah. I it's been great.
But even that, it's gas. Like, I'm yeah. talking, like, I'm burning.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure, yeah, yeah.
I'm burning dead wood.
I'm saying I never do anything. I never grill anything ever at any
it's
point.
It's fun as hell.
Yeah, it seems like something I would like to get into, and as I'm now continuing in my cooking journey, maybe I'll open myself mm-hmm. up to that.
Yeah, exactly. And as, like, your family is growing, et cetera, you're going to need reasons to get out of the house.
Yes,
true. You're going to want an excuse to be outside for 6 hours staring mm-hmm. into a flame. That's what grilling is.
Yeah,
grilling
yeah.
is an opportunity for anybody who does not want to be around their family for a little bit. Get the hell outside.
That's true. I do think that is a big part of being a good parent.
Oh, getting out
is finding a thing that takes a lot of time, but ultimately pays dividends to the family.
Well, you're doing it for them.
Yes. Well, that's what cooking is. Like, I cooked dinner last night for the fam, and I didn't have any. I was like, I was just for you guys.
No, you don't eat. No. Yeah. Of course not. Yeah. No.
Well, because that's also an ultimate power play, because it kind of gives you sort of a messiah complex.
Yeah.
Like, you finish making all of it, you serve everyone, you plate it. And then you go lay down in bed in Christ pose. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of wait there for everyone to just kind of praise you for making pasta.
Cool. So you just don't eat at all?
No.
Not at all.
You just wither away, but that gives you those Christ abs for one brief moment.
No, you...
For one brief moment.
Dude, he was no, doing in planks. The, he was doing
was he
crunchies.
Doing a lot of that stuff?
Yes. Dude was Jack ripped.
Yeah, he was Jack Reacher ripped.
He was
like,
fucking
ripped. They should remake that, but throw Reacher.
I'm
in
talking
there.
About the cultural Jesus. Okay? Yeah. Like the actual, like the physical dude who was running around, actually yeah. trying to like destabilize the fucked up systems and shit. Yeah. Ripped his shit.
The real one was cut like a Dragon Ball Z character.
Couldn't give a fuck about starting a religion.
Yeah.
You know what he cared about? Doing creatine, doing push-ups,
yes.
and doing planks.
Yes.
That changed the world.
Because he loves the body weight fitness.
Come on.
Now, the thing with fire, though, that I also think a lot about is, and it's a big part of what this article I read was about, is about the ways that it sort of has, like, ultimately led to our downfall, like, as a civilization. Like, the more complexly that we've used fire and the fuels, the more that we've expanded, you know, like, he's been talking about, like, making cement using fire or whatever. You know, where it's all these things where you're like, oh, yeah, it's that use it like every level of it. And then fire is flame retardant. And it's like, that's why it replaced like wooden structures in cities. Like, you know, we're building up all this stuff using fire
is
with
flame retardant
or cement is. Did okay. I say fire? Oh, no. Sorry. Yeah, I meant the cement is
like, what the hell you're talking about?
Well, it is, right?
Yeah. I was like, that's true.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's always like when someone's really holding court and they say something like that and you go like, did I miss here or is that right? And then you immediately justify how it could be right. Like, I guess fire is flame retardant. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But how it's all leading to, you know, the downfall of our environment and, you know, the destruction of our atmosphere.
Hey, don't be near fire because you inhale that shit. That's poison.
Yeah.
That's poisonous shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good, dude.
But it's really, you know, it really is one of those.
Fire
like, it
makes
feels
our
like
first
such a,
weapons.
Such a Greek myth type of thing.
Yeah,
where it really is like, wow, it is the whole downfall is all from the expansion of fire.
To that point, like, you forge a weapon in fire.
Uh-huh.
We were not going to have these dope-ass steel, yeah. like Damascus steel or these katanas and you know, yes. shit like until somebody was like, we're going to make this hot as fuck. To stack the metal and da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Like, we're killing ourselves.
Well, also, I think as a species, we all definitely have a fascination with fire.
How could you not?
Did you ever have, like, any kind of pyromaniac sort of experience as a kid? Like, I loved fire when I was a kid.
Yeah, I never... No, I wasn't, like, a burner like that. Mm-hmm. I liked it, but I was never into burning shit. I think I got to a point where I was like, this is too much. I didn't want to deal with...
Yes, there was a quick acceleration in my childhood of that we... Like, a group of my friends, we, like, found a big thing of matches. And then we all became, like, really obsessed with stealing lighters. Mm. And so we all had lighters. This is probably like fifth grade or something. And then I remember then I burned a Pokemon card. And we were all standing in an alley. It was something. It was like it looked nice. It was fancy looking.
It was a holographic?
No, I think it was pre holographic. It was gold.
Pre holographic.
Oh, there was always holographic
always
in there.
Holographic.
Okay. I don't know. I was never a Pokemon.
Was it a
kid.
Holographic or not? You got to say this. Or not.
I think it was. I think it was.
Dude, fuck yeah. you,
and it
dude.
Was like purpley. There was like a purple character. It was like white and
so
purple.
So Gengar?
I just have no idea.
Ghastly?
I never cared, and I still continue to never care. But anyway, we burned it in the alley, and I do remember feeling like it was like one of those accelerations you do like as a kid, where you kind of go like, wait, this just got too serious.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're like kind of scared or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like that. And then we got caught, my small group of friends, there's like four of us, I think, or five. We got caught playing with matches in my family garage. And it was like each parent came and they like scolded all of us together. And my parents were really mad at me. And it was kind of like one of those, like, I don't hang out with those kids anymore. But it was the main claim about the reaction that it was bad. Obviously, it's bad for kids to play with fire. Was that there was like a gas, like a car, a little external gas filler or whatever can in our garage.
Filled with gas?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's gonna be like
no. But it was sort of one of those, like, you could have blown up the house. I remember what my mom kept saying. Yeah. You know?
Well, that'd be wild if they do keep loose gas just around.
Yeah, that's on them.
But I
didn't have that legal way of thinking back in fifth.
Oh, you got loose gas here, mom and dad.
Yeah, exactly. That's on you guys.
Got those vapors. Doesn't gas like
that's criminal negligence.
Like, its grade drops like the longer it's like with oxygen.
Maybe that would make some sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how scared I would be to be around you and your friends. Mm. Always lighting matches, burning Pokemon cards. Yeah. First off, burning Pokemon cards.
It feels like it was a very brief window. Like, as far as I recall,
yeah, but
like,
I mean, if I met you then, I would have been like, this guy's burning money.
Yeah.
This guy wants to blow up a house.
Yeah. It was the beginning of some kind of nihilism.
You're the
Joker. Sure. Yeah.
And that scares me.
Because I do recall it was my idea to burn the card.
Of course it was.
Because I remember everyone was like kind of, like, it was like a darkness really did shroud everything after that.
Well, dude, come on, it was a holographic Gengar.
Yeah.
And you want to just like
And burn I was like, up. Who gives a shit? And they all like really did care.
Yeah, we all love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I was probably a bad influence at that time.
Little backtrack here. We're not going to do a big one. Prometheus.
Sure.
Greek myth. Buddy brings fire to Humes, steals it from the Olympians. Olympians find out about it.
And they're like, oh, man.
Tie him up to
Tie him that up was our fire.
Tie him up to a rock. Zeus turns into an eagle boy. Every day eats his liver.
That's every single day?
That's what happens to Prometheus.
Isn't there like a fancy culinary term for liver?
Liver. In the Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, Old Testament, there's the pillar of fire that Moses is following.
Sure.
It's also that burning bush that he talks to and shit. Fire is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Fire's scary as hell.
Fire is scary as hell.
And it ain't fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also used to guide. It's also in the Bible that people are using it to, it's like, don't be scared of this fire.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
A pillar of fire in the desert.
Yeah.
What?
That I would say a pillar of fire, like, that is somewhat anthropomorphized as God does to that sort of thing, where he's talking through the fire or whatever. That's my ideal form for myself.
No, he's not talking to the pillar of fire is what they follow at night. So during the Exodus.
Oh, I was thinking of Moses.
Yes.
Doesn't someone talk to a burning bush or something?
Yeah, Moses.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's just like
yeah, but don't totally intentionally misunderstand what
no,
I'm saying.
No, because you said the pillar of fire, God is speaking through
you're
it.
Right.
Like, that's
you're
not,
right. You're right.
That's not the
you're right, but
you're wrong.
But
you're wrong.
I did. And I'm just trying to recontextualize all that I meant.
Just I'm talking about.
I just wish I could be a big body of fire. That's all I was trying to say.
Get ripped. Get ripped.
Mm-hmm.
One little side note they want. I just like, you know, reading about this shit is that the burning bush and like, you know, what happened on shit. They're like, maybe that he just got really close to a hallucinogenic property that was on fire.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it was like a whole bunch of weed that he was like burning next to.
Dude, well, also people just see that shit all the time, you know?
Man, if I'm in the desert, if I'm in Egypt times, running around.
Easiest possible time to believe
I'm
in
the
God.
Cousin of Pharaoh. I'm bored.
Yep.
And I'm out in the boonies now. I'm like past the wall and all that shit. I'm just like, what the fuck is there to do? I'm just like kicking rocks. Yeah, I'm gonna light some bushes on fire and huff it up and see if I get high.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, please.
But I gotta know.
Sorry, please. I'm gonna get, if I was in ancient Egypt, I'd huff up some plants.
Yeah.
What do you want me to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back into town and be like, you're not going to believe the plant that just talked to me.
Yeah.
And I'm getting high five from my boys.
I do feel like you could play so many characters in the Bible. Like, but then if you just go, their whole thing is just about that they wanted attention. Yeah, and you make it you, I can go, that actually, every single character makes a little bit more sense if it's you playing them and they just want a little attention.
Think about it. You're like, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, you're like, my name was Paul, but now I'm Saul. Or like, the other way around.
The other way around, yeah.
And then everyone's like, okay, whatever, man.
Wait, what are you doing?
And you're like, now I'm good.
I'm not killing Christians anymore.
Now I'm good. And it's all just that you want attention.
She's like, everyone's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Dude, shut the fuck up.
That's great for you. Now, what I would do with fire is I would try to reverse the effects that fire has had on the global environment. And try to save the planet from our destruction.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really thoughtful.
Just that little old thing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
This is what I would do about fire. I'd make fire not as hot. We're like, it's
honestly, I fucking love that.
Like, it's I want to be able to like
play with it a little bit. Touch fire.
Yeah, I want to be able to put it in my hand. Yeah. Put it on my shoulders. Like,
I want
head,
that too.
And then drop it down. It's like, it's not that hot.
Yeah,
you know. And I want fire also.
You want like pet fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want a Pokemon.
That's I'm into going. That. Yeah.
But I don't want it to have like legs and armies. I just want it to be.
It's
and I don't,
pure
when I said
flame.
Armies, I don't mean like a whole bunch of people that it controls. I meant arms.
That time I did think, does he mean like a whole bunch of people it controls?
No, not yeah. an army, all right? I just meant armies like little
hammer.
Arms.
Oh, not like Army Hammer.
Not at all.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Not you want a little all. Fire that is your buddy,
yes.
but has no, its entire physical form is flame.
Yeah, it's like a Pixar flame.
But let me ask you this. Could its legs and arms be flame? Or no, you're like, I don't want that level of anthropomorphization.
Not at all.
Yeah.
It's got no eyes. It's got no mouth.
It's got no eyes.
Yeah, it's got like zero sentience. It's not alive.
Oh, okay. But it's just, it bounces around a little
exactly.
bit. Exactly. Oh, okay.
And then I put on personality. I put on like a name for it and uh-huh. all that shit. You know
even though
I mean?
You inside of yourself know it is not alive. It is not a living thing.
Oh, when I'm talking to Flamey, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of, it's basically like Wilson from Castaway.
No, because that's like a fake thing. That's a movie. I'm talking about in yeah. real life.
Yeah.
If there was a flame.
Yeah.
And then I was able to hold it, put it on my shoulder, roll yeah. it down my shoulder.
Yeah.
I'd be buddy.
You name
it
Flamey, yeah. even though you know that it doesn't have conscious thought.
When I'm when I'm talking to it, it does.
Yeah. Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like when it's like, what is confusion about this?
No, nothing.
When I'm hanging out with the fire,
yeah.
I'm chilling with my boy.
Yeah.
I'm kicking it. Flaming. I'm feeding the Cheetos yeah. and shit. Flaming hot.
All right.
And outside of that, it's like, yeah, I see another flame. If I see a fire somewhere, I'm like, it's not real.
Moving right along.
Now, everything is clicking into place. We're talking about Coachella.
Yeah.
We're talking about a big festival.
By the time this episode comes out, Coachella will be in your distant past.
It's gone now.
It will be at least 2 weeks.
But we're living in it right yes. now in LA. And
yeah.
we're not a part of Coachella.
Yeah.
That's in Palm Springs or Palm
Desert.
Is that
Desert, something you've ever gone to?
I have, yes.
Oh.
I have been to Coachella. Huge. If you're not familiar with Coachella or filler with Coachella, as I first said, it is a large, huge music festival. It's got everything and everybody you can think of. The top acts in the world are performing there. And it's become this major bloated kind of corporate
mm-hmm.
scene.
Yeah.
And a lot of people still go, still love it. You can live stream it. It's fun if you like live music.
It's like even more mainstream Burning Man.
Without a doubt, yeah. yes. Without a doubt, yes. Because Burning Man... The point of that is, I think, of definitely a more social experience.
Yeah.
You're seeing art projects, a mobile, I don't know what they're called, art projects.
Sure.
Yeah. Going around all that shit, and everyone's just doing drugs and being like naked and
right.
all that shit. Coachella, you're there for the music. There is an obvious social aspect to that, but the point of it is to see these huge acts.
Mm-hmm.
I went once, I realized, you know what? I like being at home.
Yeah.
That's what I realized.
Wow.
I was like, we camped out.
I love to realize that.
I was there for 3 days, 2 days, where the hell was.
Camping does not suit you.
In the desert.
Yeah.
I
love camping. I love the way that it all turns me into just like a rodent form of a human.
I didn't
like that. Like that about it.
I got to the point where there was such a nasty film on top of me.
Yeah.
Because you could shower, but now it's a communal shower with the other thousands of people that have been using this. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that either.
I'm fine with that.
I also think I wouldn't enjoy camping now at this point. But at that point when you would have gone to that, yeah.
No.
But I would never do Coachella. Like, it's more like, for me, a matter of the amount
expensive.
Of people.
It's wild that you go to the... I mean, you're seeing so many acts, I get it. But it's the price is so insane. And then... There's like all the travel to get in. There's a huge line, and to leave, there's like hours to get in, hours to leave. It's crazy.
I would say Coachella is sort of the embodiment of like almost like every social experience I don't like. it's so many people. I don't really love to watch like a big live music performance generally. Mm-hmm. And then it's like I don't like it when I'm at something where everyone is kind of like impressed with themselves for being there. It's like a weird feeling.
Well, it is definitely a status symbol to be there.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I mean.
And then to be in the VIP section or the VIP, whatever the fuck
yes.
it is.
Yes.
So like there is tears to it and it's just a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of wanted to, I'd love it if it was just you know, somewhere like Woodstock is kind of what I'm imagining.
I feel like things like that, especially in like the contemporary culture, become sort of like a competition for who is doing that event the most.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No. I mean, in terms of being in attendance of it, you're kind of like, no, but I'm really doing Coachella.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like being a loud laugher, where it's sort of like there's this way that people make it about themselves and how like they do it right and they're really there or something.
Well, I look at these events, Coachella, Burning Man, those Electric Light Festival, whatever the fuck it's called. They are American pilgrimages. Like they have now replaced Christmas, Easter, these other days that were like religious holidays. Now so many people, I mean, this is probably because we're out here, but so many people's calendar revolves around these specific festival moments.
Yeah.
And they cherish them and they pride themselves to be one.
I kind of like that for Burning Man.
Oh, it
like
is.
I kind of like when someone has like a whole they really care about that's Burning Man. Anytime I find that out about someone, I'm like, oh,
I don't.
Really
I'm like, that's a red flag to me. I'm like, this is what you're okay.
Well, it's not someone that's going to be close with me in my life, but I it's like always. I'm always just happy when someone has a little thing.
Oh, me too,
into.
Me too. But it is like this a sacred event.
Yeah,
and I find a
not Coachella though, right?
For some people, it is. Yeah, it's just this big party, right? Like it might not be like something that is held with. What's the word I'm looking for?
Like reverence?
Yes. It might not be that, but it is sacred and like they are doing it.
Yes.
Like they're like, do not take
this
away
they're like,
them.
It's my tradition. I always do.
And
that.
Then let me take you to this. Like, come with me.
Yeah.
If you do it with me, trust me.
Yes. That is definitely one where anyone who is like a lifer of it will always act like they have, but that's what I'm talking about. Like they know how to do it where it's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I hear that. I'm like, so if I go with you, you're immediately going to be like shroomed out of your head and then I'm going to be left.
Awesome.
But like, I'm going to be left alone, sober, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. Like, dude, do it my way. Trust me. And then it's like, okay, so now I'm lost. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm in a situation. I'm scared. I'm in some kind of Mad Max like reality for 2 weeks where I have to be wearing leather. I don't know why.
Is it 2 weeks long?
I think Burning Man is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. How long is Coachella?
2 weekends.
And that's, it's 2 weekends. So there's like, do people
first weekend,
stay for
weekend. No,
during the week?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing happening.
Oh, bizarre. Oh, that's interesting. I don't know why I've always pictured that as kind of this like camping, you're staying there.
There
for
is,
a while.
But then that's just for the weekend and then you
get the fuck out. Yeah, it just sounds absolutely terrible to me.
So would you go first weekend or second weekend knowing that there's 2 weekends?
God, so much of how I like plan things is about avoiding people.
You're camping out.
So I would do, I don't know. It's, you know what? I just wouldn't go.
No, you have to first.
No, but I would find every possible excuse
to not
go.
And it doesn't matter. You're going.
I'm not going.
And guess what? You can't unalive yourself.
No, no force on earth is going to get me to go.
There is.
Okay, fine. Then I would go, I guess I would go for the first week because I could rationalize to myself that things are like
cleaner,
set up better.
Yes. Yeah, totally. But then you might second.
But you might get more people going. Wait, are the same musical acts?
No. Different acts.
Oh, so then I guess it'd be contingent on that.
Too late. Yours is the first week.
Okay, then I go to the first week. Who gives a shit? You got me. You got me in a court of law. Jesus.
This is what I would do about Coachella. I would make it a year-round event.
Whoa.
I would not make it 2 weekends. I'd make it all year. Really put these artists through the ringer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you want to go on tour, you're going to have to go through Coachella. Make it so benign, make it so passe that like, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So guess what? The artists that are there, they actually do want to play.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? Let's do it. Let's have a fucking good time. Eventually, people would hate it so much that the acts that do get to play there are like, fuck, do we get a stage? We get this. Same setups.
Yeah.
Massive stages with like 6 people, 4 people, maybe 100 and something, maybe 50,000. I don't know. It depends on the acts. But people like the acts that are like, we're going to deliver. We're going to fucking give it 110%. Because you still see this in Coachella today. You'll get a varying degree of effort.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's like a massive experience, like, you know, people, it's a big deal. You'll see acts like not do so well. Grimes just had an epically horrible
set.
Oh,
really? Oh.
Yes. Where she kept blaming the BPMs not going well and that she didn't rehearse. That's pretty much what the issue was. It seems like. And then you have Tyler the Creator going up there and crushing. I mean, you should watch Tyler the Creator.
Yeah, I love him.
Live
stream. He's great.
Of it. It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That eventually artists who are there, because it's a year-round event,
doesn't
matter, rain, sleet, snow, it doesn't matter, any kind of water that's coming down from the sky, they're going to be doing it.
Okay, all right,
that the effort, the love that that's coming back from these people performing live is just going to just surge through all of us, and I really think kick off a new era of live music. where it's not about the likes, it's not about the streams,
yeah.
It's about people being there again.
I love that. Now, let me tell you, I'm noticing that one of your sort of what you're working with today
yeah.
has to do with injecting into the thing you don't want or an overabundance of it sure. so that it then resets and then provides the opposite.
There we go.
That's kind of your perspective today, which I really like. And I think that's because it's 10 a.m. I think that's really affecting you. That sounds like a 10 a.m. sort of logic. You got all the energy where you're going, I want to inject until it explodes and resets. And I really like that. Post noon, I don't think you're going to have that same perspective. Now, what I would do with Coachella is...
Do you ever
see this? There's an episode of Black Mirror where you can like block people in real life.
No.
Well, basically, it's like someone blocks you in real life and then you're like, they're like blurred out to you. Like you can't really see them, whatever. I would just do that with Coachella. I kind of almost thought Coachella was over. Like I thought it was no longer a thing that people go to. And so I would just blur it out of my life experience. I don't really want to see it, hear about it, don't really care. Yeah. But I'm happy that everyone has that. And I'm really happy to have it removed from my experience.
Well, it's still here though.
Yeah, I know, but I don't have to see the images of people dressed in the Coachella style.
Yeah, you do. They're out and about.
But I'm saying it's blurred out of my conditional sweetie pie. Moving right along. I'm not going to say it.
I'll say it then. We're talking sidewalk etiquette.
Yes. And I do love this one. I actually do. I just didn't want to say it because you gave me the look like I had to. I just don't. You know how it is.
I know.
You know?
Los Angeles has tiny sidewalks.
There's this neighborhood near my house where the sidewalk just ends.
Yeah.
And there's just no sidewalks. And then you just like...
That's some city bullshit.
How do you do...
That's some city
bullshit.
You're not
done. You didn't finish... No. The city isn't done.
That's the city being like, this is our boundary line. You guys figure it out.
It's so crazy.
That's why I see that shit all the time. I'm like, man, fuck you.
You're like, it's just gone?
So you're saying the taxes here, the council's like, no, people don't want sidewalks.
That's all good.
Nah, we're good here. Yeah. Let them walk on the street. I don't like... So...
Sidewalk etiquette is really interesting. It's more nuanced, I think, than driving etiquette.
Very much so. I am constantly confronted with, we all are obviously walking on a sidewalk, if you are walking around, where I see two people walking side by side having a conversation. I am a single pedestrian walking yeah. towards them. I believe it's on the people that are side by side to stack, move to one side, mm-hmm. and then let me pass. Mm-hmm. More often than not, I just have to walk around them on the grass. And I'm like, why do I have to do that?
I see.
Now, I could stand. I might do this where I'm like, walk up to them and just stand and wait for them to like move.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, I don't want to walk on the grass.
I think the standing is the way you get what you want.
Sure. But I'm also like so aggressive. But it's also, I also find being like, you're not being polite to the other people.
Yeah.
Like, this is all of ours.
I a little bit think you're the aggressor here.
Well, give it to me.
Well, because my feeling is that you as this solo person, when I'm a solo person, I will do everything in my power to be so scarce.
Me as well.
I'll have headphones on. I'll just run around. I'll never even look at you.
But I'm thinking of us in that situation going, yeah. I don't give a shit. We're already doing weird stuff. We don't care. Like, it's all the shit. What about the meek?
Well, I think what I'm saying is that my etiquette when I'm on the sidewalk is to facilitate everyone else.
But then that should be everyone's as well.
I agree. But you feel like you're owed it a little bit more.
No,
you're going like, it is what is right. Where I'm saying my whole perspective is I will get out of, I will make it easy. And it's not, because you even said, and then I have to cut around them. To me, I'm like,
well, what else am I going to do?
I get to cut around them.
When I'm walking towards,
I know, but I'm saying it's a matter of perspective. Sure. Like you're inconvenienced.
Them?
I'm like I,
but you actually are inconvenienced because of the amount of steps you're taking.
I don't care. I'm out walking right now. I don't even care.
Doesn't matter. But your lack of care doesn't mean that there is still not an inconvenience.
Yes,
you not giving a shit about it doesn't mean that they're still like, oh, I got to take a little extra time around.
Yeah.
And look, maybe that extra moment gets me to see a little flower better.
I just don't even want to have anyone owe me anything in that experience of being on the sidewalk. Well, I'm like, I don't even want to be in your consideration. I don't want to interact at all.
Well, that's this is what etiquette is. Etiquette is consideration of others, of the yes. experience of the
environment. But what I'm saying is that I don't expect it from anyone because I know that we live in the most etiquette, self-
but you don't got any class. I'm talking about living in a society where people actually stand up for something.
But here's what I'm saying. is that I don't expect it from people. My expectation is so low with every person that I just go, they don't care.
But that's the problem.
Yeah, but that's what I call living in LA.
That's what I call just living in America. But what I'm saying is I want to elevate that. Sure. I want to understand. In the same way as we
You don't have to be making this an attack on me. I understand Because I said that you are the aggressor, you have come out in a more aggressive way.
Not at all.
I should not have said that you were the aggressor.
Enjoyed that you said I was the aggressor.
Because I'm sure
I wanted
did.
To hear that perspective because I wanted to know, like, am I too aggressive in that scenario? Is that the case? Because if I am, then that's going to change how I view it. But I look at it as when two people are coming on the walk, right? And they are now fully in control of that sidewalk. Other people are walking. I think if you got a dog, you can definitely, you know, go to the side, whatever the fuck, because the dog is a dog. Now it's like, you know, whatever.
But sure.
There is something where I'm like, why? What is the, like, am I just supposed to stand there and we walk towards each other and we're both now just standing here?
Sure.
Well, that one person's able to move forward and then me and the other person face to face. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some kind, or am I supposed to cut through between them? Yeah. What is expected of us? The thing that bothers me is,
I think people traditionally pause and let you pass kind of thing.
Okay. I'm gonna try it. Yeah. I'm gonna try walking down. And just
well,
like,
no, but to me, this is another example of like you walking into that bar in Scotland and like clearly you're like sizing everyone up, and then it like creates this type of hostility.
I understand.
Where I'm going, that is not you create
that.
The hostility.
But I'm also,
where it's like I'm picturing that you and I are walking together, and you see a person, and then you go like, oh, is he gonna fucking cut through the center? There becomes this preemptive response.
Together, you probably haven't clocked this. I purposely either walk ahead of you to get in front to make the lane,
I will cartwheel over a car to avoid that lane for the other person
because I'm conscious of it, because I'm thoughtful of like, hey man, I know when it happens to me, that sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm saying is like, all I want is a universal being like, hey, help this person go through. There's enough space for all of us.
I'm saying that I think almost nothing leads to more assured unhappiness than expecting people to do the thing that 1,000%.
But that, this is a perceived expectation, right?
Yeah.
I'm putting that on them.
Yeah.
If it's etiquette, then it's just like, this is what we're doing.
That's what
we're doing. And then, of course, now there's a class system involved.
Yeah.
Because if you're not familiar with this kind of etiquette, then you weren't like stewarded in this way. You didn't go to a boarding school.
Yeah.
Then you can't be on the sidewalk. Okay. Yeah. And then people who are on the sidewalk, they live underground.
This just reminded me. I was last year at Easter, we were as like a family and Lauren's parents were in town. We went to this restaurant downtown. In downtown LA.
Where?
And
downtown?
Yeah. And while we were walking, you know, I've never seen Lauren's mom in downtown LA before.
Downtown.
And so it was to me, I was like, it's very funny to see her in, because it's horrible, downtown LA. Like it's an aggressive and bizarre space.
Downtown.
And we're walking and her mom is just kind of looking around, like kind of taking in the sights in like a happy sort of way. And then this dude is walking and she is not clocking him. And he just so loudly goes, "Move, bitch." Like, oh, so aggressively. It's like 9 a.m.
Oh,
like,
God.
It was so jarring. But my instinct was, I was like, you got to look where you're going. Like that. I was like, she is actually kind of in the wrong here. Like, he's not wrong. He definitely delivered it wrong. But, you know, it is per the etiquette. I am, you know, you have to be taking in every person around you, especially downtown.
Well, the New York walk sidewalk etiquette is dialed in.
Yes.
I'm saying, like, you're in New York and you're walking around as an Angelino.
Yeah.
You get called out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this
is
my point where I'm like, granted, we're not as much of like a foot walking culture out here.
Yes.
Driving all the, you know, but still, like, just translates everywhere, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Translates
but
everywhere.
To me, I think that the ultimate sidewalk etiquette to me, because I thrive in New York, even as a tall. Yeah, sure. But the main thing you do is like the Bruce Lee, be like water, is what I would say.
Sure.
Like, I am just, at all points, I am deftly dodging every single person at all points the entire time that I'm walking. Same Tokyo, but everyone's kind of doing it there.
But even, I was just going to say, in Japan, there are like designated lines, sides you stand on for escalators, et cetera. There's
In Japan, it's sort of like...
I mean, I assume. This is what I've never been.
But Japan, yes, is really orderly, but like Thailand and Japan have this similar thing where it's sort of like this, like everyone will just move around everyone and accommodate like without pausing, basically. Where I just feel like it is sort of every single person is like, I'm following my path. Like it's almost like everyone is following their separate paths together. And it just feels like it creates a better thing. So to me, that is being, you know, sort of being like water, basically. And just going like, I'm looking at every single person, or if I want to stop and look at something, I'm like fucking all the way up against the wall and I'm looking at it and I'm just always out of the way.
This is what I would do about sidewalk etiquette. I would make everyone wear wheelies, the shoes where wheels pop out in the heels and you get to just skate around.
Yeah.
And I would have somebody pull us, right? So I'd just make a copy of yourself, right? Let's just make a clone. And then your clone is then dragging you forward and then you're on your heelies. So someone's just like taking you down. And then you never got to worry about sidewalk etiquette because you're on the sidewalk in heelies. Your clone is the one who's got to deal with it.
Mm.
So I don't got to think of it anymore. I got my heelies on going down the street because a clone is pulling me on some ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clones are the ones having to deal with sidewalk etiquette. So this entire conversation about like what we're dealing with, I'm absolved of that. The clone people are going to have to figure that out. They're going to have their own, you know, council deciding that, their own judiciary, etc.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on at all. I'm so unplugged.
Yeah.
Some people think I'm a clone because I'm just like,
yeah, so checked out. Pitch black eyes.
But like when we're on the sidewalk, can you imagine being in Heelys,
mm-hmm.
being escorted by a clone who's pulling you with some ropes.
Mm-hmm.
The ropes are underneath your armpits, right? They go around your shoulders and your armpit right there and they just pull you. It hurts. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they're pulling you down. You don't got to worry about why. Oh, I'm going to dodge this thing because the clone is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to say, hey, why don't we just say, forget about it. Nobody worry about walking in New York. Nobody worry about walking in LA or Tokyo or anywhere around the world. We all got Heelys on when we want to take a walk.
Yeah. Because
we're not even walking anymore.
Now we're cruising.
We're just cruising. And then a clone of us with ropes is pulling us forward. And then they're dealing with...
They're figuring out all that stuff. You don't know their rules. You don't know their tradition.
It's not a problem anymore.
Yeah,
that's kind of what I want to do. I'm like, I'm done.
But now you want it to be human clones and not robots.
Right.
Yeah. Because you still want a little bit of that human touch in there.
I want 100% human touch.
Yeah.
And I want their life cycle to be short as hell.
So you're constantly replacing your clone.
Oh, yeah. And we don't know what to do, how to dispose of them.
Yeah, yeah. They got to figure that out.
Because let me tell you this. Those cities are getting inhospitable.
Yeah. No, they have to be. You got to, I think.
Because those are real diseases.
I think you got to eat the clones.
What?
I don't think it's whatever.
Oh, so you want the clones to be made out of candy? Well, they're not going to be human then, Mike.
Yeah, I know. But I just feel like they got to waste in a good way for us, right? Because they can't just be like human beings. Like it's getting dark, but we get really bloated and it's sad.
Well, then when you're wheeling around and there's like a dead clone, you could just get a knife and pop it.
Yeah. That I really like. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good note. We want the clones to just,
but the
pop.
Clones are seeing that and they're going, fuck that.
They're like, I pop.
Yeah. And then they see us do it.
How can I possibly have a soul?
It's going to cause some kind of clone revolution.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be around long enough. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're always just dealing with these waves of revolution. Because guess what? They got what? 6 months?
Yeah.
Look, we can I'll ride it out.
I'll green light this comic book.
I have bad news for you.
Why must I be tortured again by all this?
It might be a strange idea, but it's mine.
So here we go.
You are going down an abandoned mine shaft with your best friend.
Who is it?
Paul F. Tompkins, let's say. Just because I mentioned him earlier and you guys are best friends.
It's a fake scenario.
And you guys are walking down this this mine shaft and then this kind of like old-timey...
Mine shaft.
And this old-timey kind of like prospector type of guy, he's like, you guys are looking for the gold? And you're like, as a matter of fact, we are. And we're looking for this gold. And he goes, I can lead you there, but only one can reach it. And you're like, okay. So he leads you up to this pass... And where there's now two tunnels, one going left, one going right. And he just goes, pick which one and you both will go down and one of you will reach the gold. Doesn't really say what's going to happen to the other one, whatever. How do you decide in this scenario?
I don't break off at all. I pull out the blade that's on me
and I
put it to his tummy and I go, take us to the gold.
Yeah.
Take us the fucking gold. Right
and
now.
No one's ever done that, huh? Because he looks shocked.
Yeah.
He can't believe
it. Like, what do you think? I'm going to go to random tunnels, asshole?
Yeah. So then you guys start walking. He's taking you down the left one. And he's like, the right one was full of bombs. It was booby trapped.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah.
So you're a killer. You just kill people all the time.
I'm a psychopath.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel no connection to
Shut
my fellow
up,
man.
Dude. Just take us the fucking gold.
Yeah. And then you guys get the gold. And what do you do with the gold?
Fucking blow up, dude. We go to Vegas. We fucking rage.
Nice.
I'm with my best friend, PFT. Yeah, we put it all on black, dude. We let it ride.
Maybe we can cut this part out, but what do you do to the prospector?
You don't want to know.
Yeah. Okay, but he's not there
in
Vegas.
Let's just say I put him down the tunnel that went to the right.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So he got blown up by his bombs.
I don't know.
I see.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's great.
Legally, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Legally, you're free. Totally of blame.
I really like you going to Coachella, and I really like this idea of you hating it. But here's the twist. You're not going. You're playing.
Mm-hmm.
If you could be a part of any band in at any time period, like performing in front of a sellout crowd, rocking, what band would you be in and what instrument would you play?
What? It's a completely made up band.
No, no, real band. If you could be a part of any
band. Be in Radiohead, and I would just be, I would be on like an instrument that kind of makes no discernible sound because I just don't have like music
but you
ability.
You could. Like what
if I do have
yes,
it?
Yes.
I would just
you
like
could sing, you could do whatever. Like what would
no,
you
I would just like want to stand next to Johnny Greenwood and just play the same exact guitar stuff he's playing, but I wouldn't want to replace him. So I would just be there. We're just kind of doubling it because I would just kind of want to be there admiring.
Just be like, this is nuts. And he's like, shut up, man. Yeah. Play. He's like, focus.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'd want to do. Cool. For 2 minutes. No, let's say 1 minute every single day. Gravity randomly completely reverses itself.
Okay.
So if let's say you're out on the street, now you're flying up into the sky and then it stops and now you drop and you're going to perish probably. So How do you live your life knowing that at any moment for 1 minute every single day, gravity completely reverses? What do you do?
I just go into the desert.
So you're definitely going to die then?
No.
Oh, because you'll land in the sand. But still, if you get up high enough and if it's totally reverse gravity.
So I'm like,
because I guess the sand would be going up with you. That's interesting. All right. Yeah, actually, I accept this without further question.
That's it.
And actually, before we get into your next one, I just remembered I got these five audience, five questions. Sorry.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah, this is late. This is late. This is the latest I've ever done it, and I apologize.
But on purpose, though.
Yes, it was part of the plan. Okay, what is Zeno's paradox?
It's when you go inside a Xerox machine and you try to copy yourself.
Name one of the Golden Girls.
Amy.
What is Parallax?
Parallax is an ancient demon, one that is supposed to be emerged from the dragon's breath of the Chosen One, who has only allowed the crystal to be seen by those who know that it is.
Sure. Physically describe the president of Ireland.
Really nice. Yummy. Got a dog.
What is the name of the band that sings YMCA?
YMCA.
Nice. Okay, sorry. Moving right along to your condition.
You are charged with eating every single chicken wing in the United States to save the world. You don't eat meat, but you're willing to do this. What is the flavor you're adding to those chicky wingies to get it through? Because at a certain point, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, but wait. So they've stopped production, though, right?
Yeah, they're done.
Like, yeah, okay. So there's like a finite amount. There's like
600 tons.
Yeah, yeah, probably so much more than that. And I have to eat it. I feel like I would get so sick. I haven't had meat in so long.
You won't die. Like, you know,
sure.
You'll
okay.
still get like shits. You'll get the
shits. I guess I would make it some kind of like a spice thing. Like I would really up the spiciness of it. I feel like
you're like super hot.
Yeah, yeah. Because like I feel ones. Like it's almost like if you increase the suffering enough, it almost separates it from eating.
Okay.
Yeah. okay, you are made the president of the planet Earth.
Whoa.
Okay, yeah, everyone just decides.
So America won.
Yeah, no. They first like get taken won, over. Baby. They get first taken over by some other country, and then
you don't become president unless you're American.
I just said the thing about the president of Ireland. There's a bunch of presidents.
Yeah, because they look at America and they go,
America,
and they go, this is the shit.
Okay, fine. America won. Whatever. Yeah. You're president of the world. Okay. And as a result of this, you get like a dossier of like all of the secret information that all of the world governments have collected.
Damn.
So they have one that says like UFOs. They have one that says disease cures. And they have one that says known conspiracies. So UFOs, disease cures, known conspiracies. Like conspiracies that are true and explaining to you
sure,
how they
but
are
I don't
true.
Say known because I'm like, I know the conspiracies.
Sure. Okay, you're only allowed
who
to...
Who wrote these the dossier titles?
Your assistant, Caleb.
Fired.
Yeah, well, it's great, dude. That's not part of the
first
question,
thing
but
is
I'm sure.
Fired, bud. Like,
I'm sure
hell?
Your whole team's gonna get fired.
Yeah, they will.
Because you're gonna want to insulate yourself completely and not have any outside.
They have
influence.
No idea what the hell they're talking about in the president of the world.
You're only allowed to read one of those three things.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I guess you just fire anyone who's put the restrictions on you, read them all.
Yeah, first thing I do is I go into the like the disease things and I skim that. I'm like, boring. What the fuck is that? Yeah, the fuck is that? UFOs.
Yes.
Dig into that. What's going on? And I read all this other shit and I finally realize what everyone's been saying the wrong thing. Mm. You know, UFOs, UAPs, submersibles, all that shit, interdimension, all that's wrong. You know what it is? It's us.
Mm.
We are the aliens.
Yeah.
Coming back to check on the experiment that is us. We seeded us 10 billion years ago. And then we're looking at ourselves.
This is a live televised announcement. You're saying this to the entire world.
And I'm like, this is crazy.
Everyone would be so scared. If the person in charge of everything makes this announcement, you go like, what? What? He has control of the nukes?
Yes, all of them though. So like, you're fine. Because I don't want to die. You can make all candles smell a certain way. But every single candle will have this scent.
Oh man. I mean that is the
smell.
That is the most Twilight Zone question, because you will then end up just hating whatever the thing is, right?
Not necessarily.
I think I would always go for I always feel like coffee candles, like a coffee scented candle and a coffee flavored ice cream are always like actually separate from what coffee actually is, but that I basically never get tired of it. So I would do some sort of coffee flavored one.
You'd have coffee flavor, but what about all the people in the world who are addicted to coffee and they don't want
to? I'm addicted to coffee,
but they don't want to smell anymore.
I'm saying it's like totally separate. You can't just come at me with a loaded weird question like that. That's what I do. I go for that coffee flavor. Okay, guys, thank you so much. We love you. If you can support us on Patreon so that we can pay, you know, people to edit.
We're just paying for the things. We pay for this podcast to be hosted on a site. We pay for the little videos you're seeing. And hopefully we can pay for the full videos to be edited and put on our Patreon sooner than later.
Should we do one full minute of us pathetically groveling and rolling around on the ground like little cockroaches?
I mean, I feel like you can just get, just by saying it, you get it.
Yeah. You know that we have it in us that we would do that.
Yeah. We just know that
we can offer it means that we have done it.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Okay, great. Bye.
Bye.